This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? Actually, I know what's happening today. I don't really need to ask that question. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, the Friday edition. Hopefully it is a Friar Friday, one that we can all celebrate as we spend a couple hours with you here on Gwen and Chris ahead of Game 5 of the National League Divisional Series tonight. Sam Levitt's pregame show follows us at 4:08, and then the Padres play the Dodgers tonight. You may have heard in Game 5.
Oh, is that what's
of this
happening?
Series? It's a winner take all, with the victor moving on to the LCS, and the Padres hoping that they'll be home to the Mets on Sunday for Game 1 of the NLCS. But they got to win tonight in order to get it done. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby with you right now in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., obviously, just a few hours before game time. He's busy. He's down taking in pregame press conferences, preparing. But his breakdown of tonight's Game 5 comes up in about 15 minutes. So we will hear everything Tony thinks about tonight's game in about 15 minutes. We'll also hear Mike Schilt's press conference, which I believe is ongoing right now at Dodger Stadium. You won't have to wait long to hear it. We'll play most of that or all of it for you at the bottom of this hour. So you're going to get everything from everybody to get you ready for one of the biggest games in Padre history. Let's be honest. It honestly is. I don't know if it's the biggest. You know, I mean, I feel like some of the previous World Series games were big and some of the Championship Series games were big and whatever. But I will say this, and it's not making me feel any better to say it, but I think that tonight the Padres and this organization they have the most to lose that they've ever had before in club history. And the reason I say that is because I believe the Padres are maybe one win away, that win tonight, from being in an amazingly good position to perhaps go on and win their first World Series. I did not ever feel that in 1984, or at least I don't think I did. I know the Padres pulled off a dramatic comeback. They won the last three games against the Cubs. I know they got to the World Series, but they were matched up that year against a Detroit Tigers team that was stacked. A Detroit Tigers team that started the season that year 35-5 and would go on to win 108 games. Probably the greatest team the Tigers have ever had. And the Padres were just, come on, happy to be there, right? It's 1984. Tony Gwynn was in his second full season. I mean, it was the start of something big. We're going to be there every year. Just happy to be there. And frankly, the Tigers overwhelmed the Padres in five games. 1998, again, the Padres pulled off a tremendous LCS victory that year over the Atlanta Braves. And if you go back to it, the Padres led that series against the Braves 3-0 that year, 1998. Games 4 and 5 were in San Diego. All the Padres had to do was win one of two home games to advance to the World Series, but this was the Braves, and the Braves won both Games 4 and Game 5. So the Padres had to pick up, fly all the way across the country for Game 6 in Atlanta with the specter of perhaps blowing a 3-0 series lead to the Braves, but it never happened. The Padres shut him down. Sterling Hitchcock, I think, got it done in Game 6. And so the Padres went to the World Series. But we know that that year, they faced perhaps the greatest single-season team in Major League Baseball history, the 1998 Yankees, who won 114 games in the regular 114! And then would win 11 more in the postseason that year. The Yankees finished with 125 wins. And, of course, swept the Padres in the World Series. Neither of those two seasons, it felt to me like the Padres were really on the precipice of winning it all. It could have happened. We would have loved for it to happen. But I didn't feel like, you know, they were necessarily favored to do so. 2 years ago, or let's go back 4 years ago, first 2020, they beat the Cardinals in the first round. They met the Dodgers. I think they were happy to be there. Young Padre team got swept. 2022 got the great win by Joe Musgrove against the Mets, got the great series win over the Dodgers, fell flat against the Phillies, I thought. But yeah. I think a lot of that had to do with what a gigantic mountain it was that they climbed to finally beat the Dodgers that year. I don't know that they had enough left for the Phillies.
This seems like a natural...
And even further that year, had they beaten the Phillies, they would have played a great Houston Astro team in the World Series. So this year, though, I can't overlook the Mets, and I'm not going to begin overlooking them until tomorrow. And I can't overlook the Yankees in the American League. But this is not a great version of the Yankees. They won 4 games? I think they only won one more game than the Padres did. So it's a good version of the Yankees. They got Judge. They got Soto. But I'm not scared of the Mets. I'm not scared of the Yankees. And if it's the Guardians or the Tigers, I'm not going to be scared of them either. My point is, I'm scared of losing tonight, though.
And that's the whole thing about elimination game.
But that's what I mean. My point is, I feel like this... it's not the last chance the Padres are going to ever have to win the World Series and get their parade. But up until right now, I feel like this is the best chance they've ever had. I think it's one of the best Padre teams ever put together. They won the second most games in franchise history. The only team that won more was the 98 team. But this team, since the All-Star break, has been unbelievably good. 43-19 to finish the season. And, you know, you look at their order 1-9. Anybody can be the hero tonight. You look at their starting rotation, even without Musgrove, it's as strong as it's been in years. Their bullpen is lights out from like the fourth or fifth inning on, if they choose to go that far. Defensively, they're outstanding. Their manager's good. They've got star. I mean, I just think that. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's the moment, Scraby. But maybe I'm honestly feeling like if they don't do it today, it might be one of the bigger letdowns ever, because I think so much is at stake.
I think there is obviously a lot at stake. I think in the moment it would be a huge letdown, but overall this team exceeded expectations, because what was it? Vegas only thought they were going to win 84, 85 games. A lot of people didn't even think they were going to reach 90.
That's not going to make me feel any better.
But what you said about 2020, 2022, now 2024, this is a natural progression of a team building itself into a spot where they can win a World Series. Like, not always are teams... do they have to go through this? But this is a sustained way to put yourself in a spot to have a chance to make it to the World Series.
Yeah. This, like I said, this is not going to be the last chance ever. But this really feels like a great chance to finally win it all. And in order to do it, you've got to win this game. It's a one-game thing tonight, and we know any crazy thing can happen. So I got to be honest with you. If you look, if you're watching on the YouTube chat, did you put me on screen yet, Scrape?
Yes, I did.
All right, good. Hey, hi, how are you? If you look at that right there on your watching, what you're looking at is nails that are already, for some reason, bitten down.
Well, I know why, because you bite your nails.
Because I bite my nails. But I'm frustrated because I must have bit my nails like all day yesterday,
mm-mm,
and I need that for tonight.
You need some nails to bite.
I need some nails for tonight. I don't have them.
Well,
I'm a little concerned about.
You need to bite your nails tonight because
oh, really? They're going
to
score eight in the first and just blow them out?
You never know.
From my lips to God's ears,
Steve,
I guess.
Steve on the chat said, Cease has been terrible. I was thinking a lot about the decision to start Dylan Cease on Wednesday.
Okay.
And in hindsight, it probably wasn't the best idea. But with Dylan Cease, we've seen him this year be so good, and we've seen him this year struggle, and you are really putting him out there to see which Cease you get, and if you get the great Cease, it's going to pay off for you in big ways. It's a huge risk reward. So I don't think that Cease is terrible, but because he can be a great pitcher, he just has not been that consistent.
He's pitched two poor games against a team that is one of the great hitting teams in baseball. Part of it is him not being as effective as he normally is. Part of it is that the Dodgers are great. Look, I'm hoping that they're going to go forward and Cease will be a big factor against the Mets and hopefully on into the World Series. But he's pitched two bad games. The reason that Dylan Cease pitched game four is so that Mike Shildt would have Yu Darvish for game five. Understand that. If he didn't pitch Dylan Cease in game four and they lost it, whether it was Martin Perez or a bullpen game, if they lost game four, he would have to pitch Dylan Cease tonight. You couldn't just tell Dylan Cease, hey, you know what? I'm passing you over.
No, it doesn't show confidence in him.
Right. So I believe he pitched Dylan Cease knowing that if it didn't work out, he had the guy he wanted for game five, and that's Darvish. So understand that. I believe that's why that turned out the way it did. But look, the Padres had the best record on the road in the National League this year, right? They were great. They've won at Dodger Stadium. Fernando Tatis Jr. terrorizes the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Yu Darvish always pitches well against the Dodgers.
He does.
One of his former teams. He's had their number. They've got to be wondering whether they're going to be able to find a way to hit him tonight. The same way the Padres are probably wondering how they're going to hit the Dodger bullpen tonight.
True.
So, you know, there's got to be concerns both ways, but I, you know, having said what I said about my concerns about what is being risked tonight, I still do have the ultimate confidence that the Padres are a better team and should win this game.
I agree.
But I wish I could go beyond that and have a little more control over it, you know?
I guess if you're totally right about them using Yu Darvish today by using Dylan Cease on Wednesday, I wonder, like, if they did use Yu Darvish on Wednesday, like, who... would we feel comfortable with anybody else starting today? I don't think we would. I think we would only feel comfortable with Yu Darvish starting today.
Does anybody find it ironic that...
A little bit ironic.
A little bit ironic? Does anybody find it a little ironic, Alanis Morissette, that when the Padres announced their pitching rotation for the wild card series, the one guy who wasn't in it is the guy who they're counting on tonight to... advance their season.
It is ironic.
Yu Darvish wasn't even one of the starters named for the wild card series.
Maybe that was by design.
I don't know.
He didn't pitch at all in the series. He didn't need to pitch at all in the series.
No, but
maybe that was by design.
I'm just saying, they went with King, they went with Musgrove, and they were going to go with Cease in game three. It wasn't going to be Darvish. And now, here's Darvish. Here are the lineups, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Tony Gwynn Jr., get his thoughts on this massive game tonight for the Padres. It's as it has been. Luis Arraez at first base, Fernando Tatis Jr. in right field, Jerickson Profar in left field, Manny Machado at third, Jackson Merrill in center, Xander Bogaerts shortstop, David Peralta DHs, Jake Cronenworth at second, Kyle Higashioka catching. The Dodgers, Freddie Freeman is back in. That's right. Shohei Ohtani will lead off. DH, Mookie Betts in right field. Freddie Freeman at first base. Teoscar Hernandez in left field. Max Muncy at third. Will Smith catching. Kike Hernandez plays center tonight. Gavin Lux at second. And San Diego's own Tommy Edman will be at shortstop.
Can we tell everybody about your 1 a.m. wake-up thought?
I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning. And I was doing what you do at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Not going to say, but okay. everybody knows where I was headed.
You could have said you were eating a snack.
I wasn't having a snack. But it popped into my head. God, I hope Tommy Edman doesn't get us tonight. I don't know why. Tommy Edman's a good player.
You love Tommy
Edman. And he's kind of just overlooked in this Dodger lineup, and I hope he stays overlooked.
Hey, I have one thing to say.
Yes. Max Muncy sucks. Please. He didn't suck the other night. He roped a double. He had a couple of hits. So, all right, it's game five. We're trying to get it all laid out for you, but I don't know. If you're not a little nervous out there, then you probably just don't care enough. I mean, you almost have to be a little agitated and nervous. And
I won't
just
get
kinda
nervous until the game starts.
Yeah, well, I'm already there. So we'll take a break when we come back. What's Tony got to say about Game 5? We'll find out next on Gwynn and Chris.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Gwynn and Chris. Heading you toward Game 5 of the National League Divisional Series. And we get a chance to speak to my partner, Tony Gwynn Jr., as he runs around Dodger Stadium getting ready for it this evening. And, Tony, let's just kind of preview it. And let me ask you, you know, what you're thinking the keys to a Padre victory are tonight. What kinds of things are coming to your mind?
Great question. I think really what it boils down to is the Padres playing their game. Doesn't mean that they need to hit it. I mean, it would be lovely if they could hang a five spot. You know, they've done that quite a few times this year. But it doesn't need to be that. But it does need to be the ingredients we often talk about, right? I'm saying in order to give this team the best shot to get through to the end, doesn't mean it can't go a different way. But I think the best way, a good start from Yu Darvish, some runs early, clean defense, and then hand it over to that bullpen. I think that is the recipe. That's the recipe we've seen pretty much all of second half. We saw it in the first half, just was less consistent. And I think that's the key. You know, I think Darvish, this Darvish Yamamoto, this is a big deal. And so I expect that we're going to get the best version of Yu Darvish.
Well, you know, it'd be lovely to get three or four up on the board. There's no question. But I have a sneaking suspicion, Tony, as I look at this game, that Yamamoto is only going to be allowed to give up one or two runs.
I agree. 100%.
I just don't think he'll even be in a situation where he could give up more than that. I mean, it could very well be if the first two guys get on base and then a long fly ball, they could take him out in the first inning. It wouldn't surprise me if Dave Roberts does that.
And
so go ahead.
And you know what? He probably knows that. So add that to the pressure of the game five, knowing that this team that he's facing has hit him very well every time they faced him, and that because of that, his leash is short.
Yeah,
they won't hesitate to get him up out of there at first if it looks like there's trouble. Whereas Darv, although the decision to move him could be a lot quicker than normal, I don't think he's going in there with that in the back of his mind.
Yeah.
And so that's an advantage for the Padres tonight.
Yeah, I hope you're right, and I think you're right, because I mean, I've never had to pitch under those kind of circumstances. Like, you give up a base runner, we're probably going to take you out. Like, okay, you know, I'll do my best, but I plan on coming out, you know, sooner rather than later. But having said that, and why I say that, I don't think Dave Roberts will give him a chance to give up more than one or two runs. To me, that means the Padres are going to have to find a way. And, you know, they haven't been all that successful yet in the series, but they're going to have to find a way to get two or three against this bullpen. I would love to think that you could win the game 2-0. Maybe you can. But it's the Dodgers. They're going to score at least a couple of runs, you got to think. So the Padres got to do something against this bullpen. And, you know, I think, you know, Manny said it best. I mean, we're hitting the ball. We're having some good at-bats. It's not happening for us yet. We don't need to change too much. But I think that might be, to me, is my key. Like, can you get two or three runs off their bullpen? Because if you can do that, then you can, I think you win this game.
Well, then that's just simple. Revert back to what you did in games one and two. That bullpen didn't shut down the Padres at all. They added runs in that ball game, and it got some of them, especially in game two. They definitely got to every pretty much most of the bullpen that they brought in. And so, that's the thing, and that's the thing about baseball in general, right? You could be doing a lot of things right, and it doesn't always equal success, but you have to keep doing those things right in order to get back to that success. So I agree with Manny. Like, they have had good at bats. They need to continue to do that. And, you know, you always feel like that's your best opportunity, best chance to give yourself a bunch of opportunities. Padres have had guys on. They just haven't got that big hit yet. And, you know, you just have to figure from what we've seen throughout, you know, course of the season that that's not going to stay that way, and you hope that it starts tonight.
Yeah, they did leave eight guys on in the loss the other night in Game 4. So it was a shutout, but a couple of hits here and there could have changed things a little bit anyway. All right, it is an elimination game, and we said this yesterday, the Padres all-time are 3-0 in elimination games, but that means next to nothing tonight because – I mean, this is a whole new team than, you know, those three teams that won elimination games. However, on the other side, I look at Dave Roberts, and I looked it up today, Tony. He's 5-2 in elimination games as manager of the Dodgers. So he's got some experience. I think some of these players have experience in an elimination game. What does that say to you? Did you ever play, maybe in college, in one of those Mountain West tournaments, a game where you go home if you lose? How do you avoid making it bigger than it really is?
Unfortunately. I mean, how do you... Well, those are two different questions. Yes, I have been in elimination games. I was in one pretty much, I think, every single year I was at San Diego State. I was in a championship win-or-go-home scenario, and each time we went home.
Being said... Yeah, well, good thing you're not playing tonight.
Just for the record, I balled, but we didn't win as a team.
Okay, good. So, all right, good.
I think we heard that yesterday from Mike, right? I think the objective is to try not to make it bigger than it actually is. Easier said than done. Certainly, guys who have been in this spot have a better chance of figuring or getting to that quicker than someone who hasn't, who's trying to figure out how to kind of keep it regular. You know, there's so many different things happening, but I think there are three guys that were, I think it's three, right? Three is the number of the 22 guys.
Yeah. That were in the Met game.
That were in that Met game. And those are the ones that, you know, you lean on that experience. And fortunately for the Padres, those dudes happen to be the leaders for this ball club. So everybody who hasn't been a part of that can certainly, you know, look to them. They don't necessarily have to ask them, but just watch them. Watch how they deal with it. Watch how they prepare themselves, and I'm sure they're already doing that. I mean, these guys, considering who their manager is, you know, we often fret at Mike and some of his cliche or obvious biases towards his team, but this is where it matters, right? They have a manager that keeps things pretty simple. Even though sometimes we want more details, he still keeps it simple. And that is reflective of how his team will manage these type of situations. Not going to be too big. You know why? Because their manager doesn't make it too big. I'll share a quick story. In 2000, I might have shared this with you guys. In 2007, 2008, we got off to a tremendous start in Milwaukee. It was all the young guys up there doing their thing, playing. And I'll never forget it. Ned Yost, after we had won the series, we were getting ready to fly to New York that day. We were like, I think we had one of the best records in the baseball at the time. And Ned Yost came into the locker room and, like, was like, all right, guys, we're going to New York. don't make it a big deal. And I promise you, at the time I was young, so I heard it, but I wasn't paying attention. But the faces on J.J. Hardy, Prince Fielder, Billy Hall, Jeff Jenkins, like, what? That it was, and we proceeded from that point to kind of start the downward turn from that standpoint. And I say that to say that kind of thing matters in a locker room, especially when you get into these bigger situations where games matter. Your players need to know their manager believes that this isn't a big deal.
Yeah, right? Ned Yost made it bigger than it was.
Made it bigger than it was.
Yeah.
And we started to play like that. And so that is why I think Mike handles the things the way he does, is because in these moments, when they're the biggest, you need your team to just be normal.
All right, my pick to click tonight, Tony, and I'm going to get yours, and then I know you got to get back to preparing for the game. My pick to click tonight for the Padres is going to be Xander Bogaerts, and I have a reason for it. First of all, he's got great playoff experience, but secondly, he bats right-handed in the middle of a bunch of left-handed hitters for the Padres. And I believe that, you know, Dave Roberts is going to do everything he can to get lefties in there against Merrill, against Cronenworth, against Peralta. And I think because of that, Xander Bogaerts is only going to face left-handed pitching tonight after Yamamoto leaves the game. I think Xander Bogaerts is going to make one of those lefties pay. So that's my pick to click.
I like that call.
I'm hoping I'm right. Who are you thinking? Who are you leaning to if you had to pick one for the pods tonight?
Mine's is quite simple.
Okay.
It's Luis Arraez.
Ah, Luis.
Leadoff spot. We know when he's on, it almost feels like the Padres are unbeatable when he's getting on base. Because that means pitchers are having to face guys with him. We already know Toddy's blazing hot. I think he's the key today. If he's on, if he's getting on base, I think the Padres win this game.
And you heard he found, what was it, Scraby?
A praying mantis.
He found a praying mantis.
So is that why?
Which he believes is good luck.
I didn't know that's what he... See, I saw the video go across my feed, but I didn't stop to look at it.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know what was happening there.
He found this thing yesterday. He must have showed it to everybody on the ball club.
Well, it was hilarious because he was, like, talking to the praying mantis, and then someone said the praying mantises or mantis are very good luck. So I like that.
Well, if Luis Arraez believes it...
And now someone's photoshopped a Padres hat on the praying mantis.
I do know that a lot of us are going to be praying tonight, hopefully afterwards.
So we have a rally goose and a praying mantis.
This year we're going with the praying mantis. All right, Tony, have a great call tonight, and we will see you back here Sunday, because that's the way we're going to think about it.
Indeed. Looking forward to it, boys. Let's all sit back, enjoy, and hopefully be talking on Sunday about a nice victory.
Wouldn't it be something? All right, we'll take a quick break. More Gwynn and Chris coming up as we head toward Sam Levitt's pregame show and tonight's Game 5 of the NLDS on 97.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Gwynn and Chris, 2.5 hours away from the first pitch. Padres-Dodgers, it's Game 5. Might be aware of it out there.
I think so.
I think most people are aware of it. Scraby, where are you watching the game tonight?
I'm not sure yet, but might be with Lucky, although I am wearing my Padres shoes.
You're tonight. Wearing your Lucky shoes.
My Lucky shoes. You know
so
what
you might need to be with your Lucky dog.
Well, Wednesday night I was with Lucky, and guess what happened?
Lost.
So you're thinking whenever I wear my
you're
Lucky
thinking
shoes?
Giving, you're thinking of giving Lucky the dog the boot tonight?
I may just lock him outside for the night. I may just lock them.
You're like, what did I do?
Whenever I do wear my Lucky shoes, though, they have my Lucky shoes are undefeated.
Well, let's keep it that way. Okay. I'll be watching at home. I'm going to try to watch live as much as possible. But again,
oh, don't do that to me. I want to be able to text you about this.
You
want to
text me during the game?
Maybe at the end of the game. I need to text you during the game.
I'm pretty sure my plan is to start watching maybe 15 minutes after it starts so that I'm not very far behind and then catch up by the late innings. I'm going to get so nervous, Scraby. I can't sit there and be waiting 5 minutes for, you know, Yamamoto to warm up.
No, but
you know, let's go.
I feel like because I am not watching at live.
Something bad is happening
because I'm not giving it my full attention.
Yeah, I'd probably be watching a little bit delayed, but not much. This is it, right? And we can't wait for it. A couple of things to clean up before we get to Mike Schilt and what he had to say in his pregame press conference up there at Dodger Stadium just a short while ago. In the discussion with Tony, I said that Dave Roberts was 5-2 in elimination games. What I meant to say is that he's 5-2 in winner-take-all games, you know, where the winner moves on.
It's not an elimination game because he's lost other elimination games that his team did not have a chance to
advance.
Winner-take-all.
But in a winner-take-all game, the last one he managed was in 2021 up in San Francisco, the year that the Giants won the division. The Dodgers went up there and beat the Giants in the deciding fifth game. He also defeated Mike Schilt in a elimination game. That was also in 2021. That was the one-game playoff between the Dodgers and the Cardinals. And if I'm not mistaken, Chris Taylor won that with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth inning.
He did.
So Dave Roberts and Mike Schilt have gone head-to-head in a winner-take-all.
But Mike Schilt has never feared for his life in a dugout before.
No, and Mike Schilt has
Dave
never...
Roberts.
Mike Schilt didn't have that good of a team in 2021 as he has this year.
The more that I think about this Dave Roberts sinister sling thing, the more ridiculous it sounds to me. Just like...
You're still thinking of that? I thought everybody kind of put it all behind us.
No, they have, but it's more like, really? You really went to that? You really went to the fact that you were so scared and unsettled? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Right. This is why I need the Padres to win tonight, so we can just move on and forget all about that. And then 12 games in October, part two, we'll have all the research on that whole thing.
All right. One more quick note for tomorrow, when the Padres win. We will be with you. We're not going to wait to make you wait till Monday. Scraby and I are going to jump in here tomorrow for a live show between 1 and 3. That will follow Ben and Woods, who are going to come in and do a special live show as well tomorrow between 11 and 1. So we will have you entertained and informed all day tomorrow, starting with Ben and Woods at 11, myself and Scraby at 1 o'clock. And then, of course, game 1 of the NLCS, which we're all counting on, will be Sunday night, 5:08 at Petco Park. Game 2 will be Monday at 1:08.
Don't even get me started.
At Petco Park. You don't want that afternoon game.
I do not care about the Yankees in primetime. And if the Padres weren't even in it, I still would say the same exact thing.
Yeah, but the Yankees are going to get the primetime slot Monday. That's just the way I hope that's going to work. Of course you do.
Maybe I actually am nervous. It sounds like
a lot of nervous energy coming from you right now. How about Mike Schilt? How's he feeling? He met with the media a short time ago at Dodger Stadium.
Mike, obviously you've got you going today, but in a winner-take-all game, you've also got your high-leverage guys pretty rested. How good do you feel about that?
Really good on both accounts. You know, it's good to have you going. I'm trusting completely. We have our back-end guys ready to go. You know, they're ready. Even if they pitched yesterday or the day before, they'd be ready. But, yeah, they're definitely rested. And we're excited to have them get after it and bring it home.
A few more for Mike. AJ, second row on the left.
Mike, you put faith in David Peralta against left-handers lately. I'm wondering kind of what went into that decision and what he's kind of shown you in – I guess his whole time here, but especially lately.
Well, the faith is in David. You know, he's, you know, the situations are, they evolve, right? So it's not like we do have Donovan Solano over there, yeah, given the opportunity in a bigger moment. But he's led off against some lefties and gotten some hits and done a really good job.
Bob standing up in the back.
And Mike, being around you these past few years, can you kind of understand what this means to him as far as facing Yamamoto with all of Japan watching tonight's game?
It's a big deal. You know, I mentioned this, you know, several days ago back at home when asked about, you know, this series being able to stand on its own. And what I love about this series, beyond the fact we're going to a really cool game 5, is the fact that Major League Baseball has done a fantastic job of making this an international game. You know, I grew up, it was America's game, and hot dogs and apple pie, and I guess I can put a plug in for Chevrolet, but you know, now it's just international game. I mean, tomorrow the whole country in Japan is going to be watching, rightfully so, and I think it's fantastic that our game has that, had those tentacles now.
A few more for Mike. No, AJ?
Mike, from your experience in a game of this magnitude, what is the best kind of mindset for what a clubhouse should look like heading into something like this?
It should look like April, May, June, July, August, September, October. I mean, you know, the way I was raised, the way I feel strongly about, the way I feel convicted about is, you know, if you're taking the game every day to the preparation that it needs to be taken to, and you're going to go play and compete regardless of circumstance, it doesn't matter if it's game one or game, you know, game five in NLDS. It just doesn't matter. It's about going and playing. If there was something that we would have done earlier that says, now we go play and now let's go get them and let's go, we'd have done it in June. But the good news is we've done it since spring training. You know, we've normalized going to compete regardless of circumstance. So it's really about showing up and playing good, solid, clean baseball.
Sam in the front.
Mike, at this time when we spoke to you yesterday, Dodgers had announced Yamamoto as the starter, and obviously he's starting tonight. What do you view as the keys against him? Because obviously in prior starts, your team has had some early success against him.
I think it's, you know, similar to most every pitcher. We're going to know, you know, what he's going to look to do. And in competition, it's about taking it away. You know, it's simple as that. And we're going to do that against him and anybody else we see tonight.
David, on the right.
Mike, I guess it was 15 days ago you guys clinched a playoff spot here in a pretty dramatic way. Right. Going into a winner-take-all game like this, does that give you guys any extra confidence or comfort playing here?
Yeah, I think we're comfortable here. I think that's been pretty clear. You know, the game we mentioned, you mentioned that we clinched here. You know, the game we played here, games we played here most recently, we played here quite a bit. We have a lot of guys in our roster that played here quite a bit. We're very familiar with the clubhouse. We're very familiar with the environment. We're very familiar with the opponent. You know, the crowd, the everything that comes with it. So, you know, I think that has served us well. And, you know, we're not going to be overly surprised. We're just going to go play baseball tonight.
All right. There's Mike Shildt and what he had to say to, correct me if I'm wrong, Scraby, to a bit of a nervous media.
Maybe.
It sounded like nobody really was willing to ask any questions other than our friend AJ Cassavell and Sam Levitt jumped in there, but everybody was a little bit kind of on edge. Did I sense that, or did you?
I don't know if it's on edge, but I think there was some sort of nervous energy in the room of some
it
sort.
It felt like they all sounded like I sounded yesterday trying to interview Mike Shildt, being a little nervous about asking him the wrong thing and getting him upset with me.
I don't think it's.
I don't know if Mike Shildt has that whole.
I don't think he gets upset, but it's like these questions sometimes he's like, I've answered these every day this year.
And I think you're right. I think that's what it comes down to. I think everybody wants to ask something that really hasn't been asked yet. And at this point of a 5-game series, and at this point of the 175th game of the season or whatever it is,
yeah,
pretty much every question's been asked.
It has.
So that's why everybody's kind of hesitating, I think.
You know, one thing about Mike Shildt, he demands you ask a well-thought-out question, because when he answers, like, this, like when someone asks, what are you going to do in tonight's game? And he answers, we're going to do what we did in June, we're going to do what we did in July and August. I'm fine with that answer, because that's not a very thought-provoking question. But he makes us raise our game a little bit, Chris.
How about when somebody asks him if he plans on doing anything differently tonight, and his answer is, I'll let you give the answer to that.
I crawled into a hole just because I can see myself.
That's
being
what
in
happened
your
yesterday when I asked anything different in a winner-take-all
can
game.
Can I say this, Chris?
What?
Bad question, bro.
Bad question, but I rebounded nicely by telling him he should have picked his lineup out of a hat.
And he laughed.
He got a kick out of that.
Yeah, you
got
to laugh, not to
cry. I was
cry.
Able to break the tension a little bit right there.
You were.
All right, he mentioned David Peralta. Let's a little hear from David Peralta, his pregame presser up at Dodger Stadium as well a little while ago.
Mike Schilt was out here a little while ago saying that the clubhouse should feel this for a big game like this, like it does in April, May, or June, or any other time of the year. What do you think the vibe in there is like, and what do you want to see it be like?
I mean, it's the same. We feel confident. We know how good we are. We know who we're going to face too. I mean, it's going to be a crazy atmosphere out there, and that's exciting. We like that. And it's going to be a good game, man. It's going to be a game. We're going to go out there and do our best and compete like the way we've been doing the whole postseason, the whole season, and it's nothing different. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of emotions and everything, and that's what we're here for.
A few more for David. Jeff on the left.
Hey, David. The offense has hit starting pitching well in the postseason. The relievers have been a struggle. What do you see going on with that?
I don't think it's any, like, we're doing our best over there. You know, like, they have a good relievers, good starters, too. Like, it's, I don't think it's anything that we have to change. We just have to go out there and do our best to compete and do everything. And sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it against the reliever, but we prepare the best we can. We have a great coaching staff, a hitting coach that is giving our good scouting report to execute. We just have to score one more run, and that's it. It's just, it's part of the game. This is the postseason, so anything can happen. So we'll see what's going to happen today.
Go to Jesse in the back row on the left.
David, for you, when you think back to where you were at the start of this baseball season and where you are sitting right now, what do you make of 2024 for yourself?
It's a good question, man. Like, the beginning of the year, like, as you guys know, I was like, I had a surgery. I'm trying to look for a job to prove myself that I could keep playing and everything, and it was kind of tough for me and like for teams to give me an opportunity, and the Cubs gave me an opportunity and helped me to finish my rehab and all this kind of stuff, and I'm very thankful for them, and I had to go to AAA to prove myself that I'm healthy so teams can notice that, and you know, I was hoping to get to the big league. I got a call up to the big league with the Cubs, but it didn't work. You know, it happens, but I'm very thankful for them because they helped me a lot to go through this. And I always believe things happen for a reason. And when I went home, like, you know, the period of time when I was, like, you know, waiting for calls, the Padres called me. And right away, like, it was a good connection. And I went to AAA to play a couple games. And you know, I don't want to say this, but, you know, Bogey got hurt and everything. And that was my chance to come out to the big league and help these guys. And man, they gave me the opportunity. They gave it to me, the opportunity. They believe in me, and took me a little bit to show them that. And then, hey, I'm still, there's a lot of David Peralta for everyone, but finally I did it. I feel like I did my job, especially when Tatis went down. I was helping the team as much as I can, and it's special for me. You know, and I work really hard this offseason to come back early from that surgery, and it was tough, but here I am talking to you guys in the postseason, and it's special for me.
Any more in English for David? We'll go to the back row in the middle.
So baseball is baseball, but is there anything that you do different at all in the postseason, like mentally or anything, or is it just the routine?
It's the same routine. I know it's postseason, it's a lot of, you know, intensity and all this kind of stuff, but it's the same game. We're facing good teams, and we're good teams, and I always like to keep it the same way. Control my emotion, control what I can control, and just not to put too much pressure on myself, and I always do the same routine like a normal game. You know, like a normal game, and it's just going to be more energy, more craziness out there, which is... That's what I like. That's what we like, and that's what talking about for me and from all my teammates. That's why we work in the off season to be ready for this moment.
Anything else in English?
All right, David Peralta. There, he said the best thing of all in that interview or in that press conference. Better than anything I can say today, Scraby. Better than anything Mike Schilt can say today, better than anything you can say today. He said, the only thing that matters is we find a way to score one more run than they do. That's what it comes down to.
I know.
It we does. Can talk all we want, but that's what it's going to come down to.
I do love
baseball. I like David Peralta, man.
I love athletes' way of thinking, because we all are sitting here, at least I am sitting here thinking, my wheels are turning.
God,
what's
free,
going
yeah,
on?
A million things
and
going
on. He's like,
on.
You know, all we need to do is just score one more run.
Find a way. Find a way. All right, David Peralta there. You heard from Mike Schilt. More Gwynn and Chris. Another hour before the Padre pregame show. Check on a couple of other things going on in sports for you when we come back. And also, coming up a little later to get you ready for tonight's big game, what are the biggest wins in the history of San Diego sports? Yeah, yours truly broke it all down. Tell you how that list turned out a little bit later on Gwynn and Chris.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.